Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. With rising interest rates, there's a lot of unpredictability, a lot of anxiety out there. Our friends at Quicken Loans are doing something about that. The power buying process. They'll verify your income, assets, credit in under 24 hours and give you a verified approval. Then you have the strength of cash buyer, which is important when you're out there in the real world. Once verified, you qualify for the all-new exclusive Rate Shield approval. They'll lock in your rate up to 90 days while you shop. If rates go up, your rate stays the same. But if rates go down, your rate drops. You can't lose, man. Either way, you're going to win. Get started today. Go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam. Dawson.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. With Gina Grad on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, a staff guacamole contest, and Christy Bishop reviews some more advertisements in commercial grade. And now, to separate who talks the talk from who guacks the guac, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Loving you guys. Saw the ratings this week. They were up, and I love that. And it means you guys are sharing the show with a friend and turning people onto it. So thank you in advance for that, because that's why we're here. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Paul Bryan.
He's skinny. He's not fat. He's not super buff. He's not, like, ripped. Insulting. No offense.
Insulting.
I know. It's weird. I've been described that way myself by people. It's like, well, he's not fat. He just doesn't have any muscle. Like, all right. I'd rather be fat. I really
right.
would.
I'd rather fit into the category.
Because fat is sort of like, well, there's a box and it's filled with those little styrofoam peanuts. Uh-huh. And there may be something good in there. We don't know.
We can get through it.
But when you're me and Brian, it's like, oh, we saw it.
Empty yep. box.
Nothing there.
He's not jolly, rotund.
We just
no hot dad bod.
No, but I mean, ugh. It's like you always had that feeling with like a guy like John Goodman. And you're like, well, that guy's fat, but I bet that guy got lean. He'd be pretty buff,
yep.
too, or
yep.
whatever. There's a whole bunch of those guys.
Yeah.
We've eliminated the guesswork.
Yeah.
There's nothing there.
We can see it.
All right.
I can get lean. It's not getting any better.
Not going to get any better. So Christy's going to come in and we'll get into the commercial grade with the spokesperson edition. I'm very, very interested in this.
She got pages of notes.
RJ, I love how diligent she is. We'll get into some RJ Bell bets. First, Quicken Loans. Go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. Castrol Edge Titanium Strong for maximum engine performance. ZipRecruiter. Check out ziprecruiter.com/Adam. You can bet online at betonline.ag. Enter podcast one. Got some revelations from Drew coming up. I speaking of Drew, we sat down and did like a 20-minute. Well, you got to tell me how long that thing is, MaxPad, at some point. But we're rolling that into today's show. Or you're looking confused.
Did we do that?
We did that yesterday.
Oh, we did that yesterday. Yeah. Sorry. Screwed that up. That'll be good sports. All right. So, we did that yesterday.
Come on, man. Start doing your best.
Yes. We did it after the show. That's what screwed me up.
Yeah, but yeah. I should have. Some blood contamination in here?
Yeah. We should have talked about timing a little. But anyway. Either way.
Someone's got typhus.
Well, I got some more Drew videos, and we'll get into that, making some more predictions about more doom and gloom. Plague-esque stuff.
We're going to eat guacamole today.
And we're going to eat guacamole.
All right. One of the days I've been looking forward to the most ever on this show.
We're
and
having
that includes
a
Michael Bean coming in. Yeah.
And I want to say this, and people disagree with this because they disagree, but I am not wrong, and I'll do my shit in the microwave versus the freezer example. You guys all came in with your guac, and you promptly put it in the fridge. I don't think you're helping your cause.
I didn't.
Room temp guac
is
more flavorful. Mm-hmm. When they make it at your table, it's not from the fridge. Mm-hmm. If you take an avocado that's been in the fridge, it kills it. I want to tell this to people. I feel like a public service announcement. People put fruit in the fridge. It knocks it down a little bit. Stuff is best at room temperature. Mm-hmm. If you take a steak and you make it cold, you know, anyone who has steak salad or something, it's good. The texture's there. Some of the flavors there. It's not savory. It's not as good as it is when it's warm.
Red wine's a great example. Too cold, and it's there's no flavor. And God forbid it gets warm, like on a hot day. It's like, gross.
Well, yes. And in the produce department, tomatoes. It's all about do not put your tomatoes in the refrigerator. Avocados and tomatoes do not go in the refrigerator.
But fruit does, and people do it, but they're hurting their own cause. Because when you make things colder, you eliminate the flavor to some degree. Now, I'm not saying hot guac is good, but room temp, you take guac and you cool it down, you'll lessen it. Now, you've all had the same cooling and all in the same fridge, so it's an apples to apples, don't put them in the fridge, right? Situation. But if I were vying for the victory, I would take mine out of the refrigerator.
Guess who's driving here now?
I would get it to room temp as fast as I could. If I were a Gina grad or a Gabe, whatever his fucking last name is, I would. I'd pop it in the microwave for 22 seconds. I'm not trying to. No, Gina, you got it cold now.
Well,
cold is no good.
For 30 seconds. But
okay,
yeah.
Pull it out. Because
pull out my guac.
You're not putting your best guac foot forward.
Yeah, I don't want to microwave.
You know Gabe's last name. He's a Mexican guy. You know.
Miama or something. You know, K some Miama or something. Like, yeah,
okay. It's really close.
It's hyphenated.
So I would have it at room temp, and I would tell everybody, and everyone, people will argue with me about this with like fruit and stuff like that. Look, take a piece of dog shit. Heat it up in the microwave, and it'll stink up the entire fucking house. It'll, like, run out. It is activated.
Yeah.
It is take a piece of dog shit, put it in the freezer, use it as a paperweight. The extremes will tell you where the truth
That's
is.
True.
The freezer, if you freeze something, it goes away. You cannot tell. You couldn't tell a pork chop from a veal chop from a filet mignon if it's frozen. You can't even smell it. You heat it up, you can. So get it to that room temp.
Smart.
That's my all you need to know for today. All right. We got Drew's vid about flea infestation and things he's predicting. I was sitting around doing a little self-reflection, and I was just sitting at my desk the other day, and I just started jotting down sort of things I could do without. And it's not even things I could do without. It's a kind of I have led a pretty good life, a pretty fruitful life, and enjoy myself, been successful, have a great family and friends and so on and so forth. But there's still those things in life that you just kind of wish you never even knew about. You'd be happy if it never
came. What are you talking about?
And they're sunny if it never came up again in a conversation.
Sure.
Sometimes it's physical, sometimes it's emotional, sometimes it's a little spiritual. But I just started like writing stuff down.
This is good.
That sort of affected my life. Like when I'm laying in my deathbed, I'll think, God, I saw way too much of this or not enough of that.
But dragon movies.
Dragon movies, right.
Would be number one.
You've heard me famously say, like, just traffic reports. Mm-hmm. I've heard 200,000 traffic reports in my horns honking. Sometimes they'll play the Beatles song in there. And it's never anything I need to know. It's something to do. I'm sitting at my desk and something's going on in Downey.
It's usually in Gardena.
And I don't care.
Yeah.
So there's that kind of basic stuff. But then stuff like cigarette butts and clipped zip ties.
I thought you were going to say, like, angst at your parents.
No.
Did you really?
No, like, I don't mind.
Milk tops.
I don't mind smokers, and I don't mind smoking. Walking along the sidewalk or being at the beach or that thing where the water, and you're seeing the cigarette butts. Yes. And the more industrial version of that is those plastic zip ties that people clip. And it's weird how the mind works, but we understand most people you know would never eat a McDonald's burger and then just take the wrapper and throw it on the ground.
Correct.
Cigarette butts and clipped zip ties belong on the ground, according to humanity. Like, nobody ever goes, I must dispose of this in a responsible fashion. Cigarette butts get flipped. Zip ties get clipped. And snitches.
I'm thinking about this in real time, Dawson. I'm talking about every smoker but you. This is everyone but you. Smokers at this point, in 2018, someone who smokes knows, like, I know the science, I know the risk, I know I hear your warnings, I read the warnings, I know everything. I'm still smoking. It's my choice. I'm still smoking. You can tell me all the stats you want. I'm still smoking. Do they deal the same way with, not littering, but I know what to do with the cigarette butts. I know they go in the trash. I understand what littering is. I understand. I'm doing what I do. Is there a correlation? Is there a same? Is the same ethos in the same person? Everyone but you, Dawson.
Yeah, everyone but Dawson.
Yeah, because he takes care of his cigarette butts.
Well, one could kind of look at a demographic. You know, now poor people smoke more than rich people. Poor people care a little less about the environment, a little less about the ozone, a little less about Al Gore, and a little less about what they're going to eat tonight. You know what I mean? There's a kind of a recycling, cleaning up, disposing of, that's a little bit of a first world problem. The poor people don't sweat those details quite as much. Take it from a guy who's been on a million construction sites and had 250,000 discussions on recycling. Like, hey, guys, after you're done drinking your Coca-Cola, just put it in the blue can, would you please? And it's like, next day, it's just sitting on top of the leaves in the green can. And it's like, this is the green can. This is the blue can. Put it in the blue can. And it's like, next day, it's like it's not in their world. Right. It's like, bigger fish to fry, more problems than this.
Don't so retain that.
I think the demographic of smokers, and by the way, low-paid electricians who clip these zip ties
while smoking
are not, you know, they're more apt to do this.
In, yeah.
But I just thought cigarette butts and these clip zips, I see them almost, I do not go 2 days without walking the dog or walking from one warehouse to the other, walking down the street without seeing the clipped zip. Or the cigarette butt.
And that's completely consistent with your beliefs of do whatever you want, but I don't want to know about it. So be a smoker, but why do I have to be reminded?
Right. All right. Fake cheese.
Processed cheese.
It's just bad. It's bad. It doesn't need to exist. We have so much great cheese. I was literally in Wisconsin 3 weeks ago. There's big banners like Cheese World, like home of the cheese wheel. Get some Havarti here. There's so much. There's Trader Joe's
everywhere.
There's so much good cheese. And I don't say it's free, but it is reasonably priced. If you are gainfully employed, not rich, just gainfully employed, you can go any Trader Joe's and get some of the best goddamn cheese your mouths are. There is no reason in 2018 for us to be ladling out the synthetic cheese.
Liquid cheese.
It's crazy that still exists.
It's crazy. And as has happened to me in the past, who've ordered, like, I'll order, you know, we're at the shop, we're watching games. Like, I'm in the mood for a hot dog. Oh, give me a chili dog. You want cheese on that? Yeah, I'll get cheese on that. I'm picturing shaved up cheddar cheese. And they ladle on a spoonful of that runoff from the Monsanto plant with the orange number 14 in it. Like,
glowing.
Please, don't raise your mamas. don't raise your children to grow up on fake cheese. It makes them dumb.
It's a good Arlo gun.
There's just no, it's just so much. And you go to Trader Joe's and there's pre-sliced and pre-cubed and just blocked. It's just, there's
sticks.
No reason.
Sticks. It comes in stick form. Well, what do you want?
But it's just like how horribly and negatively impactful fake cheese has been on my life. Like the hot dog I got delivered from Grubhub was like ruined now because they spread it all over the top.
Where do you go from there? Scrape it off, go there, go all the toppings.
And who are the escape mental patients who just count fake cheese as cheese? They're like, you ordered a chili cheese dog. We put cheese on it. Like, that's not cheese. Right. It's not cheese.
Yep.
Okay, get rid of the goddamn cheese.
I'm on board with all this so far.
All right, the perennial all-stars, the leaf blowers, the backup beepers, all pharmaceutical commercials. I'm now drowning in pharmaceutical commercials. And with the explanations about the projectile diarrhea and the temporary blindness and the suicidal thoughts, and it's now getting constipation, it's getting invasive in terms of like, I don't mind saying like side effects may cause a sore elbow, but when it starts getting into constipation and blood in the stool and stuff like that, it's now spotting. It's we're getting into some pretty intimate stuff here.
I'll head it off at the pass. Why even bother in the commercials listing those things? Don't you have to see a doctor to get these? Don't you have to get prescribed these things?
You're supposed to beg your doctor.
Yeah.
Talk to your doctor about it.
So he can tell me all the things you just told me in the preceding 45
seconds?
Because
we just saw your doctor. We took him golfing in Hawaii, so he's familiar with the product.
He's lousy with it.
Yeah.
Right. All right. Soccer. A lot of soccer.
Just in general.
You're going the wrong way, buddy. That's getting more popular.
I know, but first part of my life, people trying to talk me into liking soccer. It's been 45 years of people trying to talk me into the world's worst sport. The TV show The View. Clamato. I don't get Clamato. I really don't get Beef Motto. And don't. All right. Hold on. I just had a new thought. It's my bacon thought. You're not allowed to take your shitty food and drape it in a shroud of bacon and then declare it's good. Like when I explain to you, I don't like liver. You go, oh, wait a minute. Yeah. Have you had the liver where they take the Canadian thick cut honey roasted bacon and they wrap
it around?
And it's like, yeah, I do. And that makes the liver tolerable because you've wrapped
bacon.
It in bacon.
Yep.
Okay, so there is no bacon rescue. Your food must stand on its own. If I'm at a party and you bring around just cubes of liver and it doesn't taste good, then liver doesn't taste good. Don't give me your bacon excuse.
It's a great Rolling Stones album, Bacon Rescue.
And I will say the same thing with Clamato, Beef Motto, and booze. You're not allowed to add booze, which we all agree is a necessary evil in life and component in life. And because you go like, I go, Clamato, come on, Clamato. And then someone goes, oh, you've not had a Bloody Mary. Yeah. We take horseradish. We take Tito's.
Oh, yeah. Right.
We take fresh brown bread. 12 kinds of 13 different Tabasco colors. It's like, all right, you basically have an ounce of something I'm going to get by because you've drowned it in vodka and everything else. And that's awesome. But I still think it'd be better with just some regular Bloody Mary mix. So I can't have the add the booze to it argument. And I cannot have the bacon. That's the
the ultimate content.
The food argument and the booze is the bacon and the booze. Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
More.
All right. So Clamato. Have you ever tried Clamato?
These lips have never tasted Clamato.
No.
I've never done it, and I've certainly never had Beef Motto.
That sounds horrible.
So disgusting. Oh, wait.
And
are they in a michelada? Is Clamato in a michelada? Because if so, then I've had it.
I think they do put
yeah, like it's michelada. Beer and Clamato. Then yes, I have.
Is that the guy who was the DJ on Kalis X?
It's Gabe's last name.
Oh, it is?
Close.
No, it's close.
There's Gino Michelini from Miyama or something, you know, K, something Miyama or something. Okay.
That's Gabe's last
name.
Same
thing.
Any piercings. Any piercings. Any piercings whatsoever.
Some dignified pearls for the
dude
ladies?
With the lip pierced, nose, all the chicks with the nose pierced now.
You're saying it gets beyond the earlobe piercing.
Any piercing. I don't need it. I don't need it. It's not moving the needle. I get a well-placed stud on the right woman is perfectly fine, But now think about all the super dangly stuff that's hanging
up the ear,
big hoopy stuff, all the dudes that are going up the rest of the ear, all the nose piercing,
gauges.
Forget about genital piercing, the gauges, the big hoops, the I have to look at it, and then I have to kind of weird, like do a weird math, like what happens when you pop the gauge out? Is there some droopy skin? You have like a couple of ball sacks like hanging from the side of your head?
Roger Ebert's jaw.
Yes,
oh,
right.
Brian.
Sad, but yeah, and I have to think about it. Then there's that weird thing where the Hispanic culture gets their like
newborns.
They get their newborns pierced, and then you see the
Miama or something. You know, Miama or something. Like
you see them pushing around a stroller, 18 months old. They got the piercing. You're like, I don't. Why did you do that? Yeah. And why are you trying
that.
To sexualize them or turn them into adults quickly? And then that couldn't have felt good to the kid. And then what's a kid scoring big points at pre-K?
Exactly.
Like what? It's just piercing. The amount of time. Or sometimes you'll see that black dude who is down on his luck and he's not doing well and he's out on the street and you can tell he's high, but he's got the big stud in one ear, but you know it's not a real diamond, but somebody went and took the time to put a hole in his ear and then put that thing in his ear and then that's somehow satiating him. Like, hey, I got the respect of the community because I got this cubic zirconia in my...
CZs.
It's... I would do... I agree... There's nothing wrong with a tasteful stud, but in lieu of all the other things, I would say, know what? I'll part with that.
Yep, and to that end, I'm a little better now, but I've always gotten queasy when I see tongue rings and belly button rings.
Oh, tongue rings hurt me. And belly button rings as well.
We used to get a lot of calls on Loveline about tongue rings. But tongue ring is infected or whatever.
Oh god, yeah. Right, no.
Right,
no.
Right.
I would love to never
hear
that again.
Was the era, but still.
This next one falls into the disappointment world. Not the I wish it wasn't invented, just the sort of disappointment. Caps, flip tops, zip bags, modalities of clothing. The amount of time I walk into my kid's bathroom to find their kid's toothpaste with a flip cap that is flipped up while the thing sits on the counter, and I just amaze myself at like how fucking lazy everyone is. The amount of times I've grabbed something like from the fridge, like an orange juice or something with the big screw on thing, or in the milk carton that has the side screw on thing, done a quick, I'm going to give it a shake and had it go sailing out because nobody got the cap back on. The amount of time I've seen the ketchup with the flip cap on it in the fridge that's flipped open with the crusty ketchup around it. It's just been like, or hey, it's a jerky container, but it comes with the easy zip top and it's a wide open and it's just the general disappointment in people's abilities to replace a cap or even just flip one down when they're done.
Yep.
Or, again, I see the toothpaste with the cap sitting next to the toothpaste. Like, just our general cap hygiene, IQ or whatever you want to call it, is woefully low. I couldn't imagine going to Japan. Could you imagine having this kind of...
No,
it's somewhere. It's some sort of intersection of fucking lazy. It's like it's like four streets coming together. It's like Lazy Avenue meets Out of It Boulevard meets Passive Aggressive Street
Lane
meets I'm Checked Out Lane. Like just it's all of us at our worst.
Yep. I'm sure the day Henry Flip invented the flip top, he's like, well, that's the end of that. Like, there'll be no more tubes left uncapped.
Oh, dude, never underestimate.
Here we are.
Never underestimate. Drew and I were doing our show yesterday. We're talking to a young gal, 19. I think she called from Downey.
How's the traffic out there?
Yeah, all the accidents.
Two smoke detectors going off in the background.
Perfect.
Two.
That's good.
Two.
Was she aware? Did she double down on it?
Oh, yeah. We'd have her walk to one and then walk to the other. There were two. They were within about 2 seconds of one another. We were momentarily confused.
I can't recall that ever happening before.
Never happened. Yeah. Two going off.
How weird, because you just like an hour before were talking to Brian about smoke detectors going off.
Oh, was I?
Yeah, it was yesterday.
On this show.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm trying to think. What was I?
Yes, it was.
Oh, yeah. Smoke detectors going off. But two going off. Yeah. Right. Two going off.
That's amazing.
You got to find that that tape. I asked Gary, whatever. But Matt, whatever. But it was two. And then I said, well, who do you live with? And like, my dad. And I said, my mom or whatever. She said, my dad. And I said, why don't you ask him to change the battery? And she said, I did. And I said, what was his answer? And she said, we're Mexican. And I said, what's that have to do with the smoke detector? And he's like, in my village, we grew up without smoke detectors. And I was like, yeah, but did you have
fire? You're going
over
that one now.
Did you have fire in your village? Like, it was such an insane answer. They lived, and I'm guessing it wasn't a palatial estate. I'm guessing she wasn't in the library with the ladder with the wheels on
right.
it. The biblioteca. She was like, she couldn't escape the biblioteca. She could not escape the smoke detectors, right. one on one side of the house, one on the other side of the house, and they just lived there. And according to my Loveline math, those 9-volt batteries will be out of power to sufficiently run your smoke detector in case of a fire, but they will have enough power to give that high audible chirp every 30 seconds for the next 14 years, which is a weird math to me. I'm like, you're chirping every 30 seconds.
Yeah, what dies for 14 years?
Over.
Aside from me.
You've been doing it for over a year. What if we just put all those together?
Right.
You'd be going off for 10 minutes yeah. straight. It's weird.
Utopia.
Okay. So is RJ on the...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll give him a call right now.
Okay. Let me tell you about... I'll continue this list. You guys can give me your lists as well. It's just the stuff that, I'll give you the last one. Wiping your feet. I have had so many discussions about mats, welcome mats, floor mats, and wiping one's feet. That I could fill up 1 year of my life with just discussions about, like, hey, you know, just guys, like, it's raining outside, seem like walking through the parking lot, they step over the mat yep. as they come in, they just leave. It's like, just wipe your feet, just wipe your feet. You know, Mike August be like, I didn't know it doesn't rain. Like, I didn't know it was raining. I was like, okay, but it's raining. Just wipe your feet. Just wipe your feet. Like, just discussions of, like, seeing tracks going to the house, yeah. tracks going to the shop, like it's wet outside or
this
it's not
wet.
This
could be the last time we ever talk about
it. It's just a mat. It's just a mat. It's there.
For a reason. Not
yes.
just to say, not just to welcome
for
you.
For one reason.
I'll put one outside the door and one inside the door. Just wipe your feet. Like, that's it. No more. No more discussions. I'll never have to discuss again. It's impossible. And when you have guys, like, work on your house and stuff like that, and they're, like, out in the driveway and they're ripping plywood or stuff, they'll just walk right in. You'll just see a trail of... Never thought I would have the amount of time wrapped up into that discussion with human beings.
With adults.
But
adults.
There is a lot of that. And it's also... You know, people go like, I forgot. And they're like, look, just have a thing that when you come to a door from the outside and you're going inside, you just...
Scoot along.
It's easily done. All right, we'll get RJ on. Did we find that Rams catch that I couldn't figure out?
Yeah.
Is it as I described it? It's confusing.
Yeah, it's a Seahawks catch, but yeah.
Seahawks.
We can play it for you.
I'll play... let me tell you about Castro Ledge first, then we'll do it. There was a... catch in the Seahawks game where it was like, oh, it's a touchdown. Oh, it's under review. It's 17-17. This is a very close game with my Rams. And it was like, oh, but wait, he was out of the back of the end zone. So he came back in. And then they did a thing where they went, oh, it was another guy who was out of the back of the end zone. And they said, well, we got to review it. And then they reviewed it. And me and Cousin Sal were watching. And we went, oh, he put half a foot out. Oh, he put a whole foot out. And then they're like, play stands, not enough to overturn. And I was like, it is kind of my, and I want to talk to RJ about this, which is don't have it be not enough to overturn. Just go, what did you see?
Yay or nay?
Yeah, yay or nay. All right, I'll tell you about Castrol Edge. Yay! Heat, friction, viscosity, breakdown, rob your engine of maximum performance. Friction results in a loss of performance of up to 10%. Castrol Edge, engineered with fluid titanium technology. Physically transforms to be stronger under pressure. I use this stuff. We put it in the truck, man. We're going up the Grapevine. We're towing a trailer. You need it in that big diesel dually. Helps fight friction, deliver maximum levels of performance from your car. Three times, fool. Stronger against viscosity breakdown than leading full synthetic oils. It is the best. Get some. It's the second biggest investment you have, and it may be the first biggest investment you have, your automobile. And the best thing you can do for it is give it some full synthetic Castrol Edge. Castrol Edge. Unlock the true performance in your car's engine with Castrol Edge. Let me get RJ on. RJ?
Hey, guys.
Hey, RJ. How about that big UFC fight, man?
Oh, man, what a fight. A biggest bet fight ever, right, in the UFC. And now they already have the odds out for the rematch. If it happens, Khabib, even a bigger favorite, minus 300. So you'd have to bet $3 to win a dollar if he fights McGregor again.
Hmm. And it doesn't seem like worth it to just win $1, so I wouldn't do that.
It's a waste of time.
RJ, yeah, I watched some of the fighters at a wedding, at Emmy's wedding. It's a long story, but I don't know. I don't know that there's a big appetite for that match because Khabib was dominant.
Yeah, but, you know, with McGregor, he's a one-punch guy where there were some serious people, handicappers, who did like Conor in that match.
Right.
And obviously
not this
Khabib,
handicapper.
And, you know, obviously Khabib looked good, but to me, whenever you have such a big personality, you got the drama of the melee after the fight, and then you add in that, hey, if Conor can't beat Khabib, who can? So maybe it's the best fight for this guy.
No, I agree. It'd be a fun fight. I was talking about this playing the Rams game. It's kind of weird watching it with Cousin Sal and company because it's not like you don't have the TiVo and you're not rewinding it and whatever, and you got a little beer buzz going and it's just kind of up on the screen and people are talking. Sometimes the sound's not up on the game you're watching or whatever. So I didn't really get to study it. I just saw it and I was perplexed by it. You got it, Max Pat? We can listen. It's the Seahawks and they're down on the 3 or 4 yard line and Russell Wilson rolls out to his right and throws a touchdown.
Yeah, so this is the in-game footage and then we'll play the replay right after.
First and second down for this team today.
Three receivers right. Wilson looking.
Buying time. Looking.
Buying time.
Chased
by Aboukam. Throws. Touchdown.
I said he went out of the end zone.
So it was 17 all at that point, and now they're going up by touchdown at home, and they're looking pretty good. I'll always respect the Seahawks. And then they said it's under review.
So here's a replay.
And then they showed the replay after
just
it was
watch. Here's David Moore, but you'll see
under review the guy's widest out.
I think it's Vanette from the other side.
Scrambling around.
The out of bounds. There it is right there. And he's still in bounds, David Moore. Wow. Way to stay alive. Russell Wilson.
It looked to me like he went out of the back of the end zone. There's another guy went out of the back of the end zone too. But they never really, there's too many commercials now and they're zipping away all the time. Let's see if we're looking at it. Let's see if we can. There. He went out right before he caught it. Max Pad doesn't see it. I don't think Brian sees it either.
Yeah, it's a weird angle.
You got to slow it.
He definitely walks along the line for sure.
You got to slow it down to just before he caught it. But also, it's also weird when they have 10 million cameras and nothing. And they can't get an angle. It is a bad angle.
There. His right foot started it.
He's out of bounds. I mean, according to this, he's out of the back of the end zone. Why?
So.
Look pretty good. Thanks for having me go through that dance, Max Patton, in order for you to agree with me. Aren't you younger than me? Don't your eyes work better? What's going on?
I'm definitely younger than
Must
you.
Must be the brain. Either way. RJ Bell, did you see that play? And that was a pretty big play. It was a touchdown.
Yeah, ended up Seattle covers the game. Rams win. You know, so maybe I'm a little old school with some stuff, though. I run a tech company, so I guess maybe there's a paradox there. But to me, if it's a situation where it's obvious, fix it. And if it's not obvious, let's play some more football. That's my take.
What was the spread in that game?
Seattle actually opened as a 7-point underdog, and there was Rams money, which is unusual the wise guys wouldn't like. You know, Seattle has the best home field in the NFL when the fans are engaged, but there was so much Rams money, it got up to 7.5.
What was, so maybe they don't score there, maybe they kick a field goal. You know, then it's shave 4 points, and they end up, Rams end up winning by 2. And I don't even know what the over-under was or how that would have affected it. But I just remember sitting going, why do we review touchdowns when you just slowed it down and you clearly saw them out of the back of the end zone? Why have the process?
And we slowed down that replay just now, too. So it was, we had to go frame by frame ourselves.
All right. So RJ, 7-3 on the season. Not too shabby, 70%. The website, pregame.com. Last week we got a win and a loss. We went 500. KC won. Dolphins did not cover, or did, and you lost either way. Should we play our intro and get into the picks for this week?
It's time for RJ's Parlay with Vegas insider RJ Bell.
All right, you got your two games, RJ?
Yes, I do. We're going to start game number one, Pittsburgh Steelers, +2.5. And Damachek, obviously a big fan of the Steelers, he'll tell you this team, when they're motivated, they play up to potential. But the Steelers have flat spots more than probably any team in the league. They're a very emotional team. Off a big win last week, but now Cincinnati, and Cincinnati, no doubt about it, is a rival and a half when it comes to Pittsburgh. And some of the hardest hitting games, you might remember Ryan Shazier actually hurt himself, still hasn't played since that Cincy game last year on a Monday night. Bengals, we lost against them last week, but boy, the Dolphins were winning 17-3 in the fourth quarter. We were getting 6 points. Now, Adam, how good does that sound? 2 interception returns for touchdowns. This Bengals team is 4-1. They could easily be 1-4. Steelers getting 2.5. Pick number one.
All right. Pick number two.
Pick number two. We're taking the Tennessee Titans, a 3-point home underdog. Some of this is pure value based upon Tennessee losing to Buffalo last week. And listen, losing to Buffalo is not a good thing, but Tennessee's a good team, at least average, if not good. We're more fading the Ravens here. And here's why. This Ravens team is not good at all on the road. Last 4 seasons, they've won about a third of their road games only. Now, they're laying 3 points, so you're supposed to win more than half if you're laying points. They've only won a third. But even more importantly, and lastly, they played in overtime, the Ravens, last week. When you have an overtime game, and then you have a road game, so it's extra effort because of the overtime, now you got to go on the road. Last 60 times a team's done that, they've won the game 27% only, and they've covered less than 40% of the time. So
wow.
We've got a bad road team with the Ravens in a bad road spot, Titans +3.
All right. Let's send us out. I want to eat some guacamole. That's why I'm kind of getting on it this time.
RJ Bell, gambler. RJ's Parlay.
Up $300 for the season, by the way, with RJ's Parlays. Yeah. And you can check out the podcast, Dream Preview. Thanks, RJ Bell. Huh? They drop off?
Like Mary Poppins. He just goes.
Right. He just popped off.
What? He's on some guacamole, too.
I'm excited about this guac. Now,
yes.
See, Christy's made some, Gabe has made some, and Gina's made yeah. some. Matt Fondelier.
He's judging.
Shea Fondelay.
That's right.
He's judging. Let me try to think about this for a second.
What's that?
Trying to do the math. We have 3 people entering.
Yes.
Only one leaves.
Oh, those are the
Thank
rules.
You, Tina.
Dawson is tasting the guac, right?
You, Dawson, and Matt will, yeah, we'll give each guacamole a score of 0 through 10, and then I will add them up, and we will announce a winner.
Okay.
And we'll do it Rotten Tomatoes style, so you write down your scores, so you can't influence each other too much.
Okay. I will try not to read any of Gina's body language when I go for her guac. We'll bring them in. Oh, maybe Gina doesn't even recognize her guac.
Maybe I don't.
I imagine.
Who's to say?
It's got to be presented in double-blind manner.
In double-blind manner.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let me tell you about ZipRecruiter while these guys are getting ready to bring the guac in. You know it's not smart job sites that overwhelm you with tons of wrong resumes. You know it is smart? ZipRecruiter.com/Adam. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't wait for candidates. ZipRecruiter finds them for you. Powerful matching technology scans thousands of resumes, identifies people with the right skills, education, experience for your job, and actively invites them to apply. Rated number one by employers in the U.S. Well, I don't think you can do much better than that. Right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address at ZipRecruiter.com/Adam. That is ZipRecruiter.com/Adam. Try it out for free. Get all the great potential employees you need, or maybe you want to send your resume out. You can do it all at ZipRecruiter.com/Adam. ZipRecruiter, that's the smartest way to hire. All right, Christy is in studio.
Everybody's here.
Everybody's here. We got an A. We got a B. We got the guac belt.
It's an actual belt.
It's a strap.
I'll take care of it.
Yeah, hold on. We have one more.
It's weighty. This is leather and
has heft.
In a world
diamonds.
Where, you know, cold pizza's fine, little brisket, zap it in the microwave or whatever, is there anything that goes from hero to zero next day faster than guac?
Oh, no. The brown. Aside from some cereal, yes, of course, guacamole.
I mean, I'm not talking about you making a batch and maybe putting a lid on. I'm talking about you going to a restaurant and going, oh, I'm going to bring home the Mexican food, and I can't throw away the guac, and I do it, and it's weird, and it's brown, and it's pasty. If somebody would make some sort of guac tomb,
airtight
guacarator or something, like if you said to me, I have a way to take your guacamole. Ooh,
a sarguacagus?
Yeah, sarguacagus.
A guac humidor?
It will taste, you can taste this guac on a Monday, and it will taste the same on a Friday. If
that'd be awesome.
The hero that invents that device.
Take my money.
Take my money.
Dawson's burritos.
Take my money.
I got to tell you, just by looking at these three, I actually can't tell which one is which.
I can't either. I've been staring at it.
All right. And you know what I love about human beings? You're all a little nervous.
Although it means nothing. I would have tried harder.
It's a belt. It is a bona fide belt. All right. So how are we going to do this, Max Patish? We all
try. So we have three bowls here labeled A, B, and C. So just taste whichever you want. We have chips. We have spoons. Enjoy.
Dawson has his own supply.
Yeah. I'm going to try a little spoon first just to kind of.
Spoon of C.
No, you're almost saying. Everyone is on the same page in the other room. Which one is A, B, and C? Obviously.
Yeah, and just write down A, B, C on your buck slip. Give them a score between 0 and 10, and then I'll add them up, and we will declare a staff guacamole champion.
Now, what are we looking for here, judges? Do we look for? I mean, obviously taste, but I mean consistency.
When we vote at the World Championship, it'll be in three categories. It'll be in taste, which is a weighted score. Taste weighs the most. And then there's texture. That's the second most important. And then anything that just kind of makes it stand out and special. The thing for me with guacamole, it's the easiest thing in the world to make, but the toughest thing to master.
It's true.
Anybody can make okay guacamole.
Dylan, you may have to pocket that phone and swap out some of the. Because can you guys reach the fondler? Can you reach over here and Adam, can you reach over there?
Okay. Yeah. He's got
his good arm facing.
I think,
the guac.
Have you tried all of them yet?
No, I've just tried the one in front of me. Brian.
Yeah, buddy.
And Dawson, I'd like your input here. I am trying it, mainlining it with a little spoon, and then I'm also going a little chip because I feel like the chip is necessary.
Smart.
Because that's how you would do it, but there's also the purity of just mainlining
the
guac. Because
the chip will add salt to the flavor, you know, and if it's a salty guacamole, you might put it over the edge. But then again, that might be a component of the guacamole. It's supposed to be eaten with chips.
Mm-hmm.
Back to
that's a good point.
I'm doing the same thing.
All right, I'm going to rotate mine toward
I'll trade you.
You guys. All
Gabe,
right.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
He's just very nervous.
That's I know.
This so bad. Chrissy, were you more nervous for this or for when your Super Bowl spot aired?
Yes, I think.
Not you were in the room.
That was worth $3 million.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They've got the guacamole dance. Chip. Oh, they're labeled. They're literally labeled
ABC. Yeah,
how different are they?
They're quite different the first two.
Is there a chunky one in there? I can't remember.
I think they're all chunky.
The white bowl looks chunkier.
So what do you think the main difference is so far, Adam?
consistency. One's got a little more zest to it. You know, the first one I tried was a little more traditional. The next one I tried had a little more of I'm going to put a little of my own, pardon the pun, flavor on this.
A little stank on it.
Yeah, they're both great. Now I'll rotate out one more time. I guess I'll get...
This is the seed.
I then went B is what I
now,
what
I personally
need.
Have not tried it with the tortilla chip. I've only done a spoonful.
You're going mainlining.
Of each, just mainlining
yeah.
it.
The B is
that's
the one...
That's a purist.
I'm a purist, that's right.
The B is the one I've not tried yet, so okay. I'll need to do that. And then the A is the one I just tried.
There's right. one ingredient that is necessary to me for guacamole, and I'm only tasting it in one of these.
What is it? Mm. Ooh, I have a guess.
We'll get to it.
Okay. The ball tickle
it
from
Dawson.
It
could be the love-hate ingredient that either makes it or breaks it for people.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
I'm going to try what I think is my favorite one with the chip. To see
yeah,
if the chip.
Feel free to revisit, guys. There's a lot riding on this. A lot.
But there's not that many chips. Looking at the plates.
I can throw my chips.
All right. B, one more. I think our labels fell off.
I think we all win.
That's B.
Yeah, you got B in front of you.
If I don't win, I want both of your recipes immediately.
It's all good. It's all good. Everyone's a winner.
So we're supposed to give a score.
Yeah, 0 through 10.
Zero.
I mean, can we just be honest and say it's 5 through 10? No one's given any of these below 5, right?
Oh, that's very nice.
I got one
very
below
nice.
5.
Oh, wow. Damn! He's prepping for Saturday.
Unbelievable.
Cold.
The animal.
I have. Shall I go first or shall I go last?
Sure.
All right, I'll go first.
Sure.
Thanks, August.
Yeah,
he's in his
element, man.
I'm so psyched for the actual competition.
Mike's seen green about now. All right. I got A. Well, now I feel like I should bump everyone up. Okay, sorry. I go. I'm gonna make. I'm trying to think. All right, here we go. I got A is a 7, B is a 6, and C is a 8.5 to 9.
Oh wow!
Interesting.
So I have C as my leader. It's the first one I tried. I find it to be the most traditional. Maybe that makes me boring. But it's just straight ahead guac to me.
I actually scored it almost the exact opposite. You started with number C. I ended with, letter C. And I gave letter C a 7 because I just felt like that was the sort of baseline for a good guacamole. There's nothing wrong with it, but it was nothing special. I would give A an 8 out of 10.
These are real people, Matt.
We're sitting right here.
With a little bit of higher marks on the texture. I thought the texture of A's was the best one. But I thought B was far and away the best tasting one. And the taste itself brought it to that next level that Dawson's talking about. So it had good texture, but you also get that taste that gives it something unique.
I wish I knew which one was mine.
So I give a B a 9 out of 10.
How about this? Whoever finishes last gets fired.
I didn't
Ryan,
like
how dare you like your chances. I don't work here.
I didn't like A. I just tasted A again. I did not like A as much.
Brian? Are you? Oh, no, you're
no,
not.
No, I'm not judging.
Oh,
I'm okay. a bearing witness.
Us three musketeers.
I went kind of along the same lines as Adam. I tried B first, and there was nothing offensive or impressive. So I kind of I went down the middle, and I gave that a 6. Because I didn't want to dip too far below, but guacamole A, there is nothing outstanding about this guacamole. I had to give it a 4. I didn't even remember that. Well,
I feel the need to defend someone who made the A guacamole. Dawson, what do you know about guacamole?
These people are promoting your event.
Other than running a festival. Outside of the whole festival part of your knowledge.
You pretty much, I mean, you didn't go for a 4, but you also called A the worst.
Yeah, A's and my least favorite.
You also just said, I don't like A.
I don't like A.
I'm being honest.
I'm asking what you know.
We should do this again. Right. This is time well spent.
I believe I know that guacamole C has garlic in it.
I like... Yeah.
And this guacamole, I remember the texture is good. I kept going back to it and said, yes, this is it. So guacamole C, I gave 8 points.
So we both gave an 8 to C. You're a genius. Matt, you're a dullard. And there's nothing to do but reveal. Now, I will say this.
One was a more traditional. Others were a little less, a little more chunky, and a little more attempts at adding other whatevers. A felt a little flat to me. It needed a little bit of maybe just salt or a little zest or a little or garlic or a little lime or something. Felt a little flat. I went with C as well. So once again, Dawson has my power rankings are C, A, B. In that order, Dawson's yours is C at the top.
C at the top, A at the bottom. You had A at the bottom as well.
No, I think I flipped. I think I flipped that.
Yeah, Adam had B at the bottom.
But now I'm putting A at the bottom.
What?
I like C a lot. All right. C was the outstanding one for me.
Depends on who you ask.
Matthew? Right.
He hated
my,
C.
My power ranking was B, A, C.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. Something for everybody here at Guac Fest.
Very subjective here. Mm-hmm. All right.
We have the numbers.
We do. We have the numbers. In third place is Guacamole A, and that belongs to Gina Grad.
Oh, really? Oh. That's a bum out. Are you sure? Because I thought mine was going to be way too zesty.
Maybe you had it in the fridge too.
I gotta go. I'm shocked.
Gina, I want you to know that I put it at second.
Mm-hmm. And my foot's really hurting, so I won't be able to come out anyway.
So
second to last. But go ahead.
Guacamole C.
What was the point difference between C and B?
3 points. 3 point difference. I'll announce the winner here. Guacamole C with the score of 24 belongs to Gabe.
Oh, yeah.
Did not see that one coming.
In second place at 21.
Yeah. I'm coming to your house for dinner.
Well done, Ms. Bishop. Baby.
Did Gabe just win the squag off? Is that?
Gabe won with a guac off homer.
As you should, though, Gabe. That would have been humiliating.
Gabe
for
is going to be in the competition.
Mexican American.
Gabe will be in the competition this Saturday.
So try that.
Championship. This is solid guac.
Gabe's is C.
Okay.
Oh, I'm yeah. We told Gabe if we asked Gabe if he wanted to compete in this. He looked at Dylan and goes, "You know I'm Mexican, right?" And
we all locked the doors.
He knew he had.
Wait, I'm sorry. I do. This is not sour avocados. I do have a question. Mm-hmm. Did you say mine was Dawson? Mine was too bland.
Wow.
Because I'm comparing, and I make a very zesty guac. So I'm a little confused. Would you like me to get you?
Can I have the good one?
No,
I got it right here. Yeah, there's.
Let me say this. I'm not going to defend Gina's, but Christy.
Yes, sir.
You guys, if you were in competition, you might be in two different groups, two different run groups. Gabe would be in traditional restaurant style, the best you can get when you order it at the table.
Yep.
And yours is a little more highfalutin, got a little more jazz.
Mine's a fancy
going on in it. And that
very
just kind of comes down to, are you traditional or not? Gina, you're out of the conversation. So.
I'm shocked.
Gabe, please reveal your secrets because you are the runaway winner.
I mean, I just grew up making it traditional with my family, so that's just
right,
what I went
with. What went into this one? Everyone puts a little bit of something different, a little bit of something. Garlic, I assume?
A little bit of that. I added a little bit more salt than I usually do, just because that's the way I like it, but my family doesn't like that much salt. So.
But all the traditional ingredients, no secret additives.
Just cilantro or no cilantro?
There's a lot of cilantro in this.
Is anybody else totally shocked that Gabe won?
And well, he should
I am, but that's more of an indictment of our pre-existing feelings about Gabe than it is praise about his guacamole. You know what I mean? We thought this kid was so retarded. I didn't know we could actually cook anything.
Who made
Dawson's laughing because he knows I'm right. It's not based on the greatness of the guacamole. It's that we didn't think
you underestimated.
He could. Yeah.
Gabe.
Also, we float up Gina and Christy because they're awesome in the kitchen. We know what they do.
Yes. Yeah. I agree.
So, I mean, I was going to say that Gabe made A and...
Well, I think we've now... We have successfully... We basically made the best statement you can say about a food, which is... Guacamole, when executed in the most traditional, basic way you could possibly do it, comes out the best. And I don't know if you know, burgers, you can't really, there is a version where you're like breaking up bits of bacon and cheese and blue cheese and whatever, all kinds of stuff. But the most basic version of guacamole executed flawlessly is
probably the best.
The simplest.
Guacamole.
I'm taking my roasted garlic and peddling it elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. Always. Yeah, I'm going to try one more time with Gina.
If it helps, Dawson doesn't have a sense of smell.
I don't know. I like a very citrousy guac, but that's me.
Guess what? We're the judges on Saturday. So
yeah.
Retaliation.
All right. Nice job, y'all. Let's see. We got the Dr. Drew clips. We got the commercial grade, which I love. I love that Chrissy's an expert in this industry.
Not so much guacamole, but in advertising.
No, your guac is
killer. Average. I was B.
No, Chrissy, that was a very good guac.
It was a little coin tossy. I think what you pretty much just dealt with was the sort of unsophisticated straightforwardness of the palette of me and Dawson, which is guac does. Yep. Like it was a down the middle. Yours
guac does.
That's what Mama used to tell me.
As far as guac.
There you go.
All right.
Let me tell you before we go into break. BetOnline.ag, Sportsnet Challenge. So much fun if you want to get involved in one, too. You can join the BetOnline.ag Pick'em, where you could win $25,000. Use the code PODCAST1. Receive 50% welcome bonus. I need your help making my picks, so send them to me, because every week I win, I'll give out give five of you $100 in credit on betonline.ag. Brian, what do you say?
You and I are very close this year. 16-8-1 for me, 16-9 for you. Our own Jeff Cesario surging out in first place at the PodcastOneSportsnet.com competition among some of the podcasters over there at Podcast One. Cesario has 17 points, and he is surging to first place. You and I are doing pretty well. We both had our best bets last week. You went with the Rams. We both had to sweat it out. You had to sweat out the Rams over the Seahawks, and I had to sweat out the Panthers over the Giants. But we both won. Both went 3-2 on the weekend, looking to catch up to Mr. Jeff Cesario next week.
All right, that's betonline.ag, so check that out. Christy's here. She's done extensive research. I love all the legwork you put in when you're looking at these TV commercials for us to examine. Of course, that's your field of expertise. This theme is sort of spokesperson. Mm-hmm. Normally, we'll break them down just sort of piecemeal, but we're theming these into
vehicles too, right?
Vehicles, mm-hmm. Spokesperson, and you've done extensive studying on this, so we will take a quick break. We'll do some good sports, and we'll come back with Christy Bishop and commercial grade right after this.
Corolla Drinks presents the World Championship of Guacamole this Saturday, October 13th at Sea Legs in Huntington Beach. Come on out and enjoy some endless rant, blended mangria cocktails, and more guacamole than you can shake a chip at. The World Championship of Guacamole. Join Gina Grad, Vinny Tortorich, Christy Bishop, and Matt Fondelier, plus your host, Mike Dawson, and hear live music from Loxie and The Smokin' Kills. The winner gets $1,000 and the heavyweight championship belt. Special thanks to Chive TV, Gringo Bandito, and Trace Vientos Farms. Email info@officialwcog.com for more information this Saturday at Sea Legs in Huntington Beach. Corolla Drinks presents the World Championship of Guacamole, Saturday at noon.
Ace and Shecky, let's do it.
The Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new episode of Good Sports here on this Thursday. Dave Damashek here, Adam Carolla over there. Ace, when last we spoke 48-ish hours ago, we were debating things when your sports, what your eyeball is used to as a fan, gets sort of thrown out of whack, like when you watch an NFL football game from Oakland, although it's going away now because the A's are out of the playoffs, the dirt infield. Some people hate it. I happen to love that. You have the soccer markings in StubHub Stadium here in Carson, California, where the Chargers play. Also, domed baseball has an odd vibe to it for obvious reasons. And then there's outdoor hockey, which I think is probably the best of all of those. It's the most appealing when what your eyes used to is thrown out of whack as a fan.
I don't like the soccer hash marks on the football field because, first off, it's called football, people. Are you listening, world? It's called football, not soccer. Understood? And I speak globally when I say this. Mm. It's called football. There's no room for soccer on hash marks on our or any kind of marks.
Where did the name soccer come from? One of our soccer historians back there should have the answer to that. What a weird word that is.
I absolutely should.
So you can work on that. I don't like that. Soccer. I do not like this. Maybe this may cause a little rift between either a chasm or a schism between the two of us, Sheck. But I do not like the baseball field.
You don't.
I do not like it. It feels haphazard, a little high school, and a little unprepared. I played my football at North Hollywood High, but I also played baseball at North Hollywood High. And the dirt track that went around the baseball field was like in the corner. And every once in a while, if a right-handed pull hitter hit one right down the line, the third base line, the ball would just go on the track all the way down to the fence. Like, I didn't like that kind of factoring into the game. And at this level, I just feel like every once in a while you see him setting up for a long kick and it's in the dirt and the kicker slips a little bit.
That's part of it. I like that. This is a schism, to be clear, but I will advocate for it. First of all, it creates some of the greatest aesthetic games in football history. When it rains on that dirt, it's heaven. You know, it's the best looking thing you could ever see. Now, people like, well, see, you played sports, whereas I have been more often a consumer of a viewer, a passive participant in these. But I've talked to any number of guys at the NFL, like David Carr just said this. Get sacked on it once. Have somebody fall on you on that dirt and feel the difference between that. You will not like it ever again.
Well, that's sort of my argument.
Right, it is. So, but like I just enjoy it to look at it.
Your argument is sort of like that it adds a little bit to the difficulty factor.
That's right. Well, the best example I can think of is, but well, actually, too, from the city of Boston, that we know some people who like Boston sports, who certainly like these things too. Old Boston Gardens had the parquet floor with dead spots on it, and so the Celtics had a home court advantage always because they knew where those dead spots on the floor were, and the foes, well, you know, presumably did not. And then Fenway Park. Are you saying you don't like the differences in outfield walls and length for a home? I mean, the Green Monster versus, you know, where the Tigers play. It's kind of a different game as a result. Right. I think that's fun.
So basically what you're saying is we should put one folding chair somewhere on
that's
the field.
That's it.
On like somewhere in the 30-yard
George
line,
Carlin
both teams
said
would have
landmines.
To deal with it.
Yeah, George Carlin said stuff like the landmines.
I will say this: if your team is in the hunt, I will permit this for the first few seasons or first few games of the NFL season. If your team has been mathematically eliminated, then I would take the script and I would flip it. I would say, hey, Oakland A's, or back in the day, be the Padres or whoever was playing, or even Angels and Anaheim Rams back in the day. I would say, how about this? You've been mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. You still have 19 games left in the season. You try playing baseball with a grass infield.
Well, I was just going to say two things about that. The other side of that, we're in the baseball playoffs, which I know you love baseball. The consistency of sort of how you have to approach it. 162 games. We have to have that many to figure out the difference between the haves and have-nots and who's allowed to play in the postseason. Then after 162 games, like, two of you play one game, nine innings. Whoever wins it gets to keep on going. What do you guys believe in the sport of baseball? You can't do both. You can't have a 162 game season and then also have your postseason participants only play one game to see if they move on. It's loco. Also, in the World Series, do you remember in 1979 when the Pirates and Orioles played? This is the last time I remember seeing it. During the World Series, the football field was still on the baseball field, all the linings and stuff.
Right.
That looks bad. This is the Fall Classic, and you can't even wash away the football stripes for a couple nights?
I don't like the baseball celebrations. I don't like the Visqueen plastic that's draped over everyone's locker.
Either celebrate or don't. Yeah, you don't get to protect everything and be dainty about it. Either, you know, throw a shindig or don't.
Right. Like, if you're going to spray champagne, And if you want to know where that was invented by the great Dan Gurney.
I knew it was going to be.
Biggest race in the world, Le Mans.
I knew it was going to be something, a European reign. That makes sense. That would be
Dan Gurney, American hero, wins at Le Mans. They hand him the giant oversized bottle of champagne. He's up on the podium and just has this impulse as he's looking down at all the photographers and crew members and stuff, has this just impulse just to shake it up and spray it. Now it's part of every post win. I did the Toyota Grand Prix. It got sprayed with champagne. I did a local Trans Am race. So they still they'll do it at every race every time. I'm wondering if that happened in the locker rooms, probably with beer, but I don't know. The Dan Gurney win must have been like 66, 67. And I don't know prior to that, but here's my deal. If you're going to do the spray, no goggles, no plastic That's right. over the lockers, because it's essentially like saying, I'm having a party. The party's off the hook. I'm going to throw this guy into the swimming pool. Go ahead and put these trunks on. And then I'll throw you into the pool. You get thrown in the pool, you're getting thrown into the pool. That's the point.
I'm with you 100%. I like that. I also like the weird, well, the weirdest celebration. A lot of these are kind of weird as you start going through them. I guess it's the Kentucky Derby. They just put a big thing of roses around a horse. The weirdest of all is the Indy 500. Milk. Who's in the mood to drink milk after you sweat for 3 hours? Jug of milk.
They drink milk, and then they all get down and kiss this stripe of brick.
Oh, yeah, that's
right.
That
goes across.
They also have one of the more underrated. Line. Actually, I don't know if I love it or if it's an eyesore, if it's a little too gaudy, but they also have, when people do what's the best trophy in sports, the Heisman, the Stanley Cup, and the Lombardi probably is number three out of that. But those are, I think, pretty much the best three. But that Indy 500 trophy is weird with your face. You get like a little mini bust of your face put on there for all the time. That's all right.
Look, we can't live in the past, but I just did a movie about Willie T. Ribbs, first black man to ever run at the Indianapolis 500. And if you'd like to attract more people of color to your sport, perhaps Jim Nabor singing Sweet Home Indiana before every Indianapolis 500 is not
back
the
home again. He's passed now.
I know, it's the whitest man in the world singing the whitest song in the world for 41 years. Like, that's probably not going to get the brothers to tune in.
Do you think that's what they're sitting around talking about? How can we attract more people of color to our sport of racing cars here in the Hoosier State,
where
the Grand Wizard once lived?
If you'd like to get a little more diversity at the track, don't have Gomer Pyle kick off the festivities with the slowest song in the world about Indiana.
Tell us more about what's going on in the world of sports. This is the sweet spot for the sports fannies.
It is betonline.ag, man. College football, NFL football, greatest time. Mm-hmm. What a time to be alive and be an American. Make your online wagers. Head to betonline.ag. Take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Use promo code podcast1 to receive a 50% sign-up bonus today. That's podcast1 for 50% worth of sign-up bonus. betonline.ag, exclusive partner of Podcast One Sportsnet. Whether you love college football, NFL football, BetOnline has it all, and you can get in on the action today. Sign up today at betonline.ag. Use the promo code podcast1 for a 50% bonus when you sign up. Take advantage of this incredible offer now at betonline.ag, your online sports book expert. BetOnline.ag.
Ace honors Dan Gurney. I am sitting next to a Dan Gurney of sorts myself here in Adam Carolla's studio, and I will explain why to him and to you tomorrow on Good Sports. For now, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek, Podcast One Sports out. Good Sports.